He calls his sheep by their name. He knows you intimately. He knows you personally. He loves you. Hallelujah, with an everlasting love. He said, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, that I forget you not. Can a woman forget her suckling child? Yea, she may, but I will never forget you, O house of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, here's this keynote message in a nutshell before I give you some scripture for it. God wants every one of his children, beginning with me as one of his children. I'm going to include myself right in the middle of this. I'm not going to minister in some condescending way down to you. In fact, every sermon I preach, I do not mean to imply in some condescending way that I've arrived at some mountain peak and y'all need to get up here. That is not where I am. I'm a fellow climber. But if I happen to be climbing ahead of you and you need some help, as we climb together, I'll be glad to throw you a rope. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's go together where God wants to take us. Our God is a great God. His name is great in all the earth. The Bible said, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And what brings praise and honor to his great name? It's when he moves in behalf of his people. I know there's a scripture that said, the unbeliever seeketh a sign, and no sign shall be given them except the sign of Jonah. Amen. And the resurrection comes into play. The resurrection of Jesus is the only sign that he will obligate himself to get the unbeliever to believe. But these signs shall follow them that believe. Can you say, man, in my name they'll cast out devils, in my name? And it goes down the list of supernatural answers to prayer, supernatural events that are occurring. And when we're so good at doing church, there's churches all over the place, and the planning that goes in and the programs that are available. I've told you many times, a church of several thousand people, a man that worked on our home went to that church, and he was very proud of this. He was struggling with things in his life, but very proud of this about his church. He said, all of the events for children, the events for the older people, the events for the younger people, the events for the young marriage, the events for the teenagers, the events for the whole church, all of the events in a calendar year is over 1,000. They've got 1,000 things that are going to occur, special services, special things that are going to happen in a year's time. There's nothing wrong with having special events. What's wrong is when we're trying to fill a vacuum for spiritual power with events. Amen. To keep people interested, to keep them focused, and to keep them coming to church. If God really gets to moving like he wants to move, because we allow him to do it, not because he decides to do it, we won't need to fill the gap with events. See, if this church caught on fire today, literal physical fire, this neighborhood would come out to watch it burn. I guarantee you they would come out, and when they heard the fire trucks and saw the smoke and then seen the flames, they would come out to watch it burn. And if the Church of Jesus Christ ever catches on fire again, amen, the world will come just to watch it burn. I don't mean burn up and be destroyed. I mean that there's something happening. On the day of Pentecost, something happened to grab their attention so they could preach Christ to them. Amen. Something occurred. God did something. In fact, he told them, don't go. Just because there are fields and you have the Great Commission, you need something to occur. If you try to do it in the human agency with the best of intentions, you're going to fail at it. But tarry in Jerusalem until you get enough programs. No, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Don't try to do it without God's supernatural. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men. Are you good enough a witness? Are you good enough a Bible scholar to take away the scales from eyes that are spiritually blinded? No, you are not. This is not an intellectual thing. This is a spiritual battle. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's not a program. That's the power of God manifest. When David Wilkerson went to New York City, because God called him there to start Teen Challenge, he preached initially to the gangs on the streets of New York City. He had no program. His first day there, he slept in his car, pulled into a parking place, slept in his car. A policeman beat on the side of the car with a billy club at dawn the next day and said, "Man, what are you sick?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, are you stupid?" He said, "I don't think so." He said, "You do not stay in this part of town in your car overnight. It's not because of an ordinance against sleeping in your car. It's because you're going to get jacked, man. You're going to get robbed. You're going to get killed. Little skinny white boy down here in this part of town." And he started preaching on street corners. He had no program, but he prayed and he interceded and he knew God had called him there and God's anointing was upon him. Nicky Cruz, daddy was a warlock. His mother was a practicing witch. He was the leader of one of the gangs in New York City back when gangs were really, there's still gangs in every major city. And he was a leader of one of the most notorious gangs in New York, one of the many notorious gangs in New York. And he preached, and one time he came up after Dave was sharing the gospel. He looked him in the eye. He showed him his knife. And he said, "I could cut you to pieces right now." And Dave said, "If you do, every piece will cry, 'I love you.'" It disarmed him. He wasn't used to that. He'd never heard anybody talk like that. He was used to intimidating people and seeing the fear in their eyes, but he saw no fear in this man's eyes. He saw faith, and he felt the love of God through him. And he came back to hear him speak the next day. And he came right back up to him again after he got through speaking, and he said, "Hey, preach, you're coming through. Hey, preach, you're coming through. I want to hear more. It's happening." And it wasn't long before Nicky Cruz gave his heart to Jesus Christ. All these things against him. He's a gang member. His daddy was a warlock. His mother was a practicing witch. And here's Nicky Cruz, a Christian. And if you've ever heard his testimony, it is powerful. Because God delivered him and God set him free. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that Satan has built into the mind to blind it. Amen. You know what it said? The God of this world has blinded the minds of men. You know what blinded means in the Greek? It's to fluo. And it means to obscure with smoke, like a smoked bottle that's been in a fire, and now it's blurry. You can barely see through it. But it also means the same word used interchangeably. It means to puff up with pride. To puff up with pride. Amen. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And when the scales fall from the eyes, that proud heart bows to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Satan loses that person. Amen. He cannot hold them in that prison any longer. Praise God. Amen. We can't keep filling the gap with programs. There's a revival in Lakeland of people being healed through a particular evangelist. And the evangelist wasn't right with God himself. But people came from all over America and from other countries to get in that meeting. Because there's a vacuum. There's a void in the church. And having a Pentecostal plank out front, a Pentecostal title, doesn't guarantee that the power of God is going to be manifest in that place. Amen. We've got bigger churches and bigger preachers, but we don't have anything any better than what we started out with at Azusa Street all those years years ago. It started in Pentecostal power, and the only way we're going to touch this gainsaying world is through a renewal and a revival of the same power that came forth on the day of Pentecost. This wasn't a bunch of over-enthusiastic people. These were people that were told, don't you dare go out there and try to get this job done with your intelligence and your ingenuity. It's going to take the power of God to break the power of the enemy over them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So you stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Dunamis is the word. It's a root word that has to do with a dynamo or dynamite. But in the Greek, it's different. It means miracle working ability. It means supernatural ability. When God adds His supernatural to our natural, things can occur that could never occur any other way. There are preachers that saw souls won. Some of those praying preachers that prayed until their soul got set on fire and they went out and preached under that anointing. George Whitfield preached and people came running. They didn't come walking. They came running to the altar. They were so convicted of their sin, many that saw the revivals described it said they ran to the altar as if the flames of hell were licking at their heels. And maybe we make all kind of deals with people to try to get them to come to Jesus, to get their business blessed, to get more money in the bank. And God loves to bless His people, don't get me wrong, but that's not the incentive to get saved. Can you say amen? There's a greater issue than whether your business grows. It's where your soul spends eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost moves to convict, when He comes and He manifests Himself, He will convince the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. He will do that. When Paul got through preaching, when Felix came to hear him, the Bible said Felix trembled. Why? Because he was convicted of his sin. We sit here today in the presence of Almighty God. And God wants to keep see the promise. He said, if I don't go, it's all about promises received. God's made enough promises to provide everything we could possibly imagine and need and beyond that. Amen. Jesus said, if I don't go to the Father, He can't keep this promise. But if I go, He'll send the Comforter. He promised it. I got to go for Him to do it. It's all about promises. The whole New Testament is in covenant language. And if you don't understand covenants are based on a promise made. A promise made and a promise kept. Jesus is the result of a promise. He's the promised Messiah. Canaan was promised land. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is promised to those that believe. Salvation is promised to those that trust Christ. And so the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed or formed. Amen. By that that cannot be seen. That an invisible but mighty God did all of this. And that God is the God that exists today. And we're living beneath the provision that He has made through His promises as His children. And that's why the church has become overladen with programs and entertainment to try to keep people focused, because we're not representative of the fulfillment of all of those promises. Let me tell you something about the promises of God. The Bible said, let me tell you how many they are. There are approximately 8,800. And 10 promises in the entire Bible. Over 7,000 of them are personal promises that God made to people. Not just general promises, prophetic promises. No, over 7,000 are personal promises that God made to people. I'm going to submit something to you. God is a promise keeper. He watches over His word, particularly His promises. To do what? To perform it. To perform it. There's 7,706, and in the New Testament, there are 1,104 in that little area of your Bible called the New Testament. Deuteronomy 28 has 133 promises, which is more than any chapter in the Bible. We're sitting on the premises, Vance Havner said, when we should be standing on the promises. Amen? Amen? Thank you for the hearty amen and the paltry hand clap, but thank you for clapping anyway. Not that yours is not paltry, it's the only one. Amen. Anyway, there's others. You're clapping in your heart, I know. Amen. Don't clap too hard in your heart. There wasn't any problem here. In the 1800s, a 30-year-old man named Russell Carter battled a severe health crisis that brought him to his knees. His doctor said there's nothing more they can do. He's just got a little time to live. So Mr. Carter turned to God for help, hope, and healing. Ironically, he had written a song years before that became his theme song while seeking God for help and healing when all hope was gone. And maybe it should be ours today. See if you recognize this song. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by His love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Amen. He that had been given up to die in 6 months lived another 49 years standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I can't live in doubt with 8,000 promises. I just can't live in defeat with all these promises. Dr. David Jeremiah said, and I quote, "A biblical promise is a tightly wrapped, power-packed, portable capsule of Scripture written by God and designed to meet a specific need in your life at a specific time and in a way that corresponds perfectly to His all-sufficient grace. The promises of God are His guarantees amid life's uncertainties. They are the basis for all our faith, and there are specific promises in the Bible to meet every condition and contingency of our life." Amen. How many can agree that's the truth? They're there. He said it. Now, you can hear a message on the sovereignty of God and just push the promises aside as if they didn't exist and embrace everything that comes as His will. But if you get into the promises, you'll find out what He wills. And you'll find out that a lot of things that are happening because Christians, good-hearted, good-meaning Christians, are being hornswoggled by the devil. Amen? Hoodwinked by the devil. Deceived by the devil. If God made a promise, He purposed it for you, or He would have never promised it in His Word. Somebody said, and it made practical sense, but it wasn't really biblically sound. And here's a statement. You have made it. I may have made it. Amen. Pray. Remind God of His Word. Pray His Word. Remind Him of His promises. No, it's not God that needs reminding. He never forgets His Word. He watches over it to perform it. The promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. Can you say amen? We're the ones that need to be reminded. Remind yourself. Remind your soul. Find a promise and stand on it. Hallelujah. Having done all, stand against the wiles of the devil. People with 7,000 promises. Wow. Through faith, Hebrews 11 said, through faith, they obtained promises. And out of weakness, because of that, out of weakness, they were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. When Pastor started reading to his congregation, Hebrews chapter, I'll find it in a minute. For we wrestle not. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, concerning my congregation, I couldn't read the rest of it. Because the armor ain't going to do you no good if you don't get into the fight with it. Can't help you unless you stand your ground. Sword can't help you unless you pull it out of the scabbard, praise God. Shield can't help you if you don't lift it up. Can you say amen? You got to get in the fray. You got to get in the battle. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, so concerning my congregation, I read the first verse, we wrestle not. And he stopped and sat down. And they were looking at him like, give me the sermon. He said, that's it. I know what you're thinking. We don't fight. And when we lose by virtue of, by default, because we don't fight the good fight of faith. And we lose the battle. And guess who gets accused when we lose the battle because we don't fight? God, why? God, where are you? You're not going to get Him to help you by accusing Him of being unfaithful. Did He make a provision? 6,000, over 6,000 promises says yes, He has. Has He purposed to help you? Absolutely. Can you say amen? Oh, my Bahosunda, I've seen so much defeat and despair and discouragement among God's people. Amen. I'm not angry at God's people. I'm angry at the devil that has deceived them. Can you say amen? It is time to arise and shine. For your glory has come. Darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness the people. We're children of the light. And we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. Somebody promises me something. There was a guy, his family didn't send him a card over Christmas. He sends them grand gifts and they don't even give him a Christmas card. And he told my wife, he's a friend of ours, he said, we take care of his little doggy for him. He said, I think I'm going to change my will. I'm going to change my will. I thought, well, put us in it then. I mean, don't waste it, for heaven's sakes. Put us in it. If he makes a will, if he decided to put us in it, I don't want him to put them out of it. And he changed his mind, but you know, but I wanted to get something across to you. Amen. I don't want kids mad at me because he gave it all to me. Just some of it would be different, but anyway. Some of it wouldn't hurt. They're going to run through it anyway like gravy through a goose. Anyway, moving right. Yeah, gravy through a goose. You'll get that when you get home. I know you city folk and don't know nothing about all that stuff, but God is good today. If he put us in a will for something that He wanted to bless us with, and He, you know what that is? That He's promised. If He promised, I'm going to put you in my will. I'm going to tell you when they read that will, I'm showing up. I'm going to show up. I'm sorry. It's not being carnal. I'm not stupid, man. Come on, I'm showing up. so-and-so put you in the will. They're going to read it at 2 p.m. today at the lawyer's office. I think I can adjust my schedule. Could you? I'm going to adjust my schedule. I'm going down there and see what he wanted me to have. If he told me, you're in my will. Now, don't you forget, if something happens to me, you're in my will. That's a promise. Even his word. I would take it enough to go down there and see. At least I would find out. And if God makes a promise, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? And shall he not bring it to pass? Bring what to pass? What he's promised. And he must have purposed it, or he wouldn't have promised it. That's why when they went into Canaan, they walked over into promised land. But promised land didn't do them a bit of good until they walked over on it by faith. Amen. He said, everywhere, this is what he promised. Everywhere that the sole of your feet, first he delineated all that was theirs. You can't have anything you want but everything he wills. Amen. But if you get everything he wills, you'll have everything you want. Hallelujah. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. He said, all the way to the river Euphrates, all the way to here and all the way to there, that have I given you. It's a promise. It's a covenantal promise. And he said, but here's how you receive the promise. Everywhere that the within the perimeter of what he promised, everywhere the soles of your feet touch, that have I given you. Every bit of this area that you claim by faith, it is already yours as far as I'm concerned. But you're going to have to cross that river. You're going to have to walk over in that land. You're going to have to tell them people that are sitting on it to get up and get out, because you're coming. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm tired with all of these promises, by just sitting on the premises and letting the devil run roughshod over top of me and my family. Woo! Somebody tell me what God has said. And don't mince words. Read it right from the book. I love the way God talks. I love the way God talks. Pay no attention to the History Channel, a bunch of eggheads trying to explain something they've never seen themselves. Got a PhD in world religions and don't know man-made gods from the God who made man. Can you say, man, they can't figure it out because they haven't seen what you and I have seen. Can you say, man, flesh and blood didn't reveal who Jesus is to us. No man did that. Oh, no. No professor did that. Amen. Hallelujah. But my Father, he's the one that did it. Praise God. And upon this rock, this revelation that is God granted and God given, amen, I'll build my church. And because it's built supernaturally, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I just love the way that God talks. Isaiah 41 in verse 10. Listen how God talks when he makes promises. And don't let nobody talk you out of it once you find it in the Word. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God itself. Praise God. Listen how he talks when he makes a promise. There's no mincing of words. There's nothing mealy-mouthed about him. No wonder faith comes. Here's what he says to Israel in covenant with them in verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Yeah. Woo! I love the way God talks. I love when he says, I'm going to do it. Psalm 91, because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under his wings thou art come to trust. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. No, the pestilence that wastes at noonday. No, the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 11,000 at your right hand. 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. You've got a covenant with God. Amen. The kids in Sunday school used to sing, I am a promise. I am a possibility. God promised you anything? Do you know what he promised you? Oh, but Brother Venable, Brother so-and-so was so sweet. Sister so-and-so was so holy. This is about faith. This is not about all the sweet and holy stuff. This is about faith. This is about a covenant. This is about a promise-keeping God who wants his name to be distinguished from the false gods of this world. And the way he always did it was with power. He never did it any other way but with power. Let the God that answers by fire. Let him be declared the true and living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How God confirmed Jesus, amen, through many signs and wonders. It was power that distinguished Jesus from any other. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Can you say amen? God confirmed him with power. We're trying to push the Christian religion among all the world religions and let them all fight it out and see who wins for the souls of men. I'm going to tell you something. Without God confirming his word, there's not a Bible college on the planet that can teach you well enough, and you can't preach well enough. Amen. The Bible said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and they went, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. My name, you'll cast out devils. Say, that was just for the apostles. What about the other 70? Where did they come from? That he anointed and sent out, and they went out and cast out demons. There's a movement right now in Christianity, and a whole movement of preachers, prominent Bible scholars, and pastors of huge churches. It's called cessationists. It's a big movement. It's influential, it's powerful, because their books are out there. Their churches are huge. Their influence is Bible scholars and even theologians. They have doctor's degree in theology. Some of the teaching is sound. But when it comes to the supernatural, there's an abrupt stop. Abrupt stop. An abrupt stop. God does it to make up for the vacuum and lack of manifestation of power and help for God's people. Because in actual reality, God's people sitting in churches this morning are in dead churches where God can't move, where we don't claim promises. We don't know what is ours, and we're not taught how to claim. Amen. We're no better off than the world about us. No better off than the world about us. If the doctor can't do it, it can't be done. Because cessationists say God don't do it anymore. You can't find one scripture in the Bible that says he ever quit doing anything that he promised. My God is a covenant-keeping God. My God is a promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to get in the Word and find what He said about everything. Praise God, and let God be true. We at that place in the Church of Jesus Christ, let God be true. Let every man, every other voice that conflicts or contradicts, let him become the liar. But let God be true. The Lord is not going to give us promises, lift us up, and then dash our hopes. Amen. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Fear not. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, I just got to read you a few things before we quit today. We're going to go on in this because God told me, you tell my people and you take it yourself. He said, I want you to get in my Word for everything. I don't want you to look beyond it, around it, look to somebody else. I want you to get in my Word. If it's in my Word, I want you to stand on it with everything you are and everything you have. If your church grows, fine. If it don't, at least you'll have victory. I want to be the one standing. I want to be the one standing. I don't want to live my life by what's happening to other people. Amen? You say, but I know a sister over here. But it isn't working. Well, it can work. It does work. It will work. Amen. Because it's not a program. It's a person who made a promise. And the person has to be a God of integrity who cannot lie. Woo! If you continue in my Word, you'll know the truth. Not just intellectually, but experientially. Hallelujah. And the truth will set you free. Glory to God. Woo! I want to live in that freedom from fear, freedom from doubt, freedom from discouragement, freedom from destruction, freedom from deception. I'm not putting down anybody. There's areas I'm ignorant in. There's areas I'm completely ignorant in. I don't know how a microwave cooks a tater. Amen? I just don't know. When we first got a microwave, I didn't want to get too close to it. My mother had a pacemaker, and she didn't go, ew! She'd go back when the microwave came on. It might mess with them things. I don't know. But I didn't know it. I mean, you know, I knew that something's going on in there that I don't comprehend. I know it's a little bit better, and I'm not going to try to explain it to you because you probably don't know more than me in that area. I doubt. Maybe you do. Doesn't matter. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant in. But it opens me up to be taught. If there's areas I just don't know about, I haven't heard about. See, some people come out of a church and you think you learned everything there was to know. Everything there was to know. If you learned everything there was to know, you probably wouldn't be sitting here today. Amen? Because I know I ain't that pretty. Close. Biggest amen I got all day was that from Sean. I will get you back. Ditter's not here to do it. I'll take care of it. You're the new Ditter. Listen to a few of these things just to pique your interest in what God wants to do. He wants to keep His promises to His people. We're covenant people. We're covenant people. He made promises to Abraham. Abraham staggered not at what? The promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. You know where hope comes from? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The promise is what gives you hope. The promise is what gives you hope. If you're about to go under financially, and I promised you personally. I just came into wealth because a guy promised to bless me when he passed, and he passed. And I was remembered in his will. And he has blessed me extraordinarily. Oh, and I know you're in trouble. And I know you're about to go under. But if you can hold on, amen, if you can hold on a little while, I promise, as soon as I get that check, I promise, I am going to pay off your bills. Guess what you got before it's paid off? Before anything happened. Yeah, this lady right here. Come on, preacher, don't play. Don't be playing with me. You know what suddenly comes alive in your heart when a promise is made by someone you believe can keep it and will keep it? Hope. I got hope. When that man gets that, he's going to give it to me because he promised me. I got hope. And hope will help me to hold out until he keeps his promise. Hope will help me to hold on. Can you say amen and hold out? But I need the promise and I need to take it to heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Suddenly, I got hope because I got a promise right here. Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Deuteronomy 1:11-12. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he promised. Hallelujah. This is not wishful thinking. They're grabbing hold of a promise. Joshua 23:14-15. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul, not one of the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. I'm not going to be here to lead you and encourage you, but you can hang on to the promises that God has made you. You know none of them has failed you. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 8:24, you've kept your promise to your servant David, my father, with your mouth. You have promised with your hand, you have fulfilled it as it is this day. What you promised with your mouth, you fulfilled with your hand. Wow. 1 Kings 8:56-57, praise be to the Lord God who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. We're going to get a retrospect one day of people with a testimony that not one promise that he has made in his covenant to his covenant people has failed. To whom? To those who will receive it. Listen, all the tribes of Israel crossed into the promised land, claimed it. God gave them the giants and the cities and knocked down the walls of Jericho. Amen. Anything in the way of keeping that promise had better get out of the way. You didn't hear me. I said, see, if you know the promise of God and there's a mountain of opposition between you and what he promised, that's when you have to stand on the promise and quit talking to God about the mountain and start talking to the mountain. If you had faith, not just a force called faith, but faith in something tangible in the Word, faith in a promise that God has given you in his Word, and there's a mountain of opposition standing between you and what God promised you. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, I like what one preacher said. He said, I read in the Bible, and he was African, and he was fourth generation German. And he said, I read in the Bible where a mustard seed and a mountain got into a fight. And the mustard seed beat the mountain. Hallelujah. Yeah, exactly. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's got to be based in something. It's got to be based in something tangible, the bedrock of God's Word, in particular, a promise from God. And there's a mountain of opposition standing between me and you and that promise. If you had faith in the promiser, hallelujah, and the promise that he made, you would say unto this mountain, mountain, be thou removed, cast into the depth of the sea, the midst of the sea. And if you doubt not in your heart that what you say has the power, know what he has promised has the power. And doubt not in your heart that what you say is going to come to pass because God has promised it. And now you're standing on that promise and confessing it. You. I love the way God talks. This is Jesus talking. Come on, don't put him in somebody's camp. This is Jesus talking. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is Christ talking. We can make excuses for no power in the church. Amen. We can come up with cessationist doctrines if we want to. But God's people are hurting. And God's people are in need. And you know what God wants? He wants to help his people and bring honor to his own name. He wants to distinguish us as his people and distinguish himself as our God. Can you say amen? It makes a difference if you're in covenant with Almighty God. Hallelujah. You say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and doubt not in your heart that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. You've got to walk out on this thing. You've got to claim this thing. Can you say, man, if they're going to read the will, I'm showing up. I'm showing up. Because if I'm in it, like it was promised, then it's going to be brought to pass. I'm showing up. Oh, I'm a Venable. V-E-N-A-B-L-E. Seven brothers came from Great Britain, England, to America. There were two Venables that went to Georgia. There's a Presbyterian church, a big church that is in the home that this brother and sister lived. They converted their mansion into a church. Stone Mountain, Georgia, in Atlanta, they own the mountain. And they both died without marrying and childless. Oh, man. I mean, I grew up poor. I thought we were doing well because we lived in a Jim Walter home that never got completed till my mother and dad divorced, and I never got to live in it any longer. Never got completed while we owned it. But we had an outhouse. It was a two-seater. And I felt proud. I did. I felt like we're doing well. All the other outhouses I've ever been in only had one seat. We got two. However, I never chose to sit there with anyone, but anyway. But we had it if it became absolutely necessary. Boy come home to spend the night with me from elementary school, and he said, "Where's the bathroom?" I was so proud to take him out to our two-seater. So when they talked about Venable heirs, they used to tell the story. I could see them getting excited. Oh, they'd sit around my grandpa, my grandma, my great-grandma, both of my uncles. Amen. They hired a lawyer out of Virginia to go down and see. There was actually an actress back in the 30s called Evelyn Venable. There was an actress on Psycho. Amen. One of the Psycho movies, her name was Venable. But anyway, this actress, Evelyn Venable, she wanted to help give some money because in case we're all part of some kind of relationship, because the story was that all of the residuals from that granite mountain and all that land and everything was accumulated in the bank, and there was no one to give it to. It's just building up, and the bank wants to get it to whoever it belongs to. They can't keep it, so they're trying to find somebody to give it to. Get rid of it. Get rid of all that wealth. And we thought, guess what if we? What if we had a blood relationship? Oh, I'm not carnal. I'm just telling you. I'm not stupid either. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What if we had a blood relationship? What if we were rich and didn't know it? Two landscape guys last week. What city was it? Anybody know? They're landscapers. I guess a couple of Mexican or Latino fellas. Landscapers working in other people's yards. They don't make a whole lot. Minimum wage stuff if you work for them. They found a lottery ticket. They found a lottery ticket. If you lose it and somebody finds it, it's theirs. They found it. They just found it. You might have read about it. $1 million. They just, woo! Do you think they're going to go home poor? No, they're going to cash it. It says it's It's worth $1 million. Finders keepers, losers weepers. Does anybody own this? There'd be 10,000 people say, yeah, I left it there. I lost it there. They found it. They're a millionaire because they found $1 million ticket that somebody lost. They just found it. You know what? I'm believing that somewhere in the Word of God, sooner or later, we're going to find something. We're going to find something that's going to be life-changing. Something you can't buy with money. I was dying with leukemia. There were Pentecostal churches all over Tampa. But there was a church with a pastor, and he had an evangelist come in, and God began to heal the sick. And God began to fill with the Holy Spirit, and the lost were getting saved. To the extent that people from other churches were coming over to that church through the week. And he was in a denomination, Pentecostal denomination. Guess what they did? They told him to shut the revival down because people were coming from other people's churches. Accused him of stealing sheep or some nonsense. What he was doing was feeding sheep with children's bread. It wasn't him. Anyways, brought someone. And so, you know what he did? He said, I didn't start this move of God. And I cannot shut it down. I respect you. I'm not being a rebel. But I can't shut down what God is clearly in. He gave in his papers as requested by them. He went and rented a building downtown Tampa. And they called it the Tampa Revival Center. He was my pastor, my daddy's pastor. He was your grandpa and grandma's pastor. Amen. And God moved in that ministry. Pastor Joe Woodward, I'll never forget. He would have, it went 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. God moved and moved and moved and moved and moved. And I was a young man diagnosed with leukemia. Amen, at 8 years of age. And the doctor said when he gets bad enough, put him in the county hospital. We had no insurance. And they took me for prayer. Amen, to a church where God was keeping promises. Can you say amen? I love the way God talks. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith shall... Am I reading from James in the New Testament? Is it as authoritative as John 3:16? What if we told the sinners, amen, what if we preached John 3:16 the way we preached James 5:14? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. But He may and He may not, because He's Almighty God. You may have been predestined to go to hell, and then nothing you do is going to change it. What if we preached it with such a mealy mouth, Mickey Mouse? How can faith come from, I don't know if He's going to save me or not? We don't preach it that way. The reason people get faith and believe to be saved is because we declare, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy household. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So, they asked anybody that needed prayer. My mama, who wasn't even a Christian, but she knew God was moving. She grabbed me by the hand. She wanted God to help me. She grabbed me by the hand, and we went walking. We got in that line, inching forward. I'd never experienced the power and presence of God in my life till we got in that line. We got about halfway to where they were praying for people. Pastors were praying together. They'd unify. God's moving. Where everybody rallied around the move of God. Amen. They had different evangelists come and go, but God always showed up and showed out. Hallelujah. And as I got closer, I felt that tingling down in my shoes. I felt it in my feet. Amen. Then I feel it coming up. Amen. There's a scripture I finally found out about God and His move and getting involved in that move. He said, I walked out and there was water ankle deep. I walked a little further and it got knee deep. I walked a little further and it got waist deep. I went a little further and it got neck deep. I took another step and there was waters to swim in. The bottom fell out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But the closer I got, the more it come up on me. But the time she took me, we're second in line. Remember that old camp meeting song? Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. It literally was going to keep me alive. Amen. I wasn't going to live another year with advanced leukemia. No bone marrow transplant. Nobody trying to help me. Just making comfortable to die. That's all that my mom and daddy had. But they had a promise. They had a promise. They had a promise. They had. Did you know God made? Oh, my son, da da barosha la bakitia. Get a hold of a promise, and then don't ever look back. Can you say, man? I'm so glad my daddy took hold of a promise. Said, Gene, take him. God will heal him. God will heal him. When they took me up front, she started to explain. She was going to explain leukemia. This old boy, amen, he didn't know a lot of medical terms, but he knew God. I didn't need a doctor. I needed the great physician. Can you say amen? Doctor doesn't give up. Amen. He laid hands on my head and he said, I rebuke cancer of the blood in the name of Jesus. I curse you and in the name of Jesus, leave this young man's body. Woo! Honey, it's been a long time since we've seen a move of God in the Church of Jesus Christ through God's people, not some gifted person, but God's people who believe. Hallelujah. Amen. I went home. Glory to God. Every day after school, I laid on the couch till the next day. All my energy was gone. But I got up the next morning. Old dog I used to play with, Poncho. A little weenie dog, loved to play. He'd come and bark and scratch on the door, want me to come out and play, but I couldn't come out and play. I got up the next morning. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. There's something about childlike faith that you don't use your mind a whole lot. You just believe. Hallelujah. Amen. I got up out of bed. I went out there and we played all day long. My mama called me in and said, don't you want to lay down and rest? And said she felt so convicted of saying that. And I said, why, mama, God healed me last night. God healed me last night. I'm all right. Almost 60 years ago. I'll be 67 next month. And I was 8 years old. 59 years ago, they had written me off. But my daddy claimed a promise. Hallelujah. And God kept a promise. Well, he was going to use you to preach. Listen, this is not about what my future... Listen. This is about God's promises to His covenant people. God's no respecter of persons. Hath He not said it? Will He not bring it to pass? Satan tried to kill me my whole life. He tried to kill me time and time again. Why? Because you can argue theology all day long, but you can't argue with a miracle. Amen. Can you say amen? Here I am. Every day I live and breathe, I am evidence that there is a God in Israel. And He's a promise-keeping God. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, well, Brother Venable, it's not happening. Well, it's going to happen. If you get in the Word and let it get in you, something's going to rise up on the inside of you. Faith comes by hearing. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, I prayed and believed with all the faith in the world. Oh, there's something to go along with it that you got to have. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Because God moves in His time, and we usually give up while waiting on Him. You say, Brother Venable, which is most important, faith or patience? Well, if you're in an airplane, which wing would you rather lose? The right wing or the left wing? I don't want to lose no wing. It takes both to stay airborne. That's right. That's better than amen. She's better than that. She said, I know that's right. Listen, but you, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, but you have need of patience. Oh, brother, you have need of patience. Oh, by the way, patience in this context is persistence. They that wait upon the Lord is not taking a number and being complacent. The word wait in the Hebrew means to bind together by twisting. You don't take three strands and bind them together or four and make a rope by being complacent and sitting there. You're doing something. There's something to be done. Can you say, man? There's something that we do, amen, that allows Him to work. God is so good. Faith is acting on the Word of God. But you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore. Once you grab a hold of it, hold on. Hallelujah. Amen. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come, nothing to do with the second coming of the rapture. This is God manifesting Himself to meet the need that He promised and purposed. Amen. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. We used to sing it, when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Amen. For the Lord is ready, waiting for our move. It's our move, not His. Defeat, depression, I've been in those valleys. I could live there if I judge by what's happening to people around me. If I meet the status quo in the church today, I could live in defeat and say, well, we're in a fallen world, and I'm tired of blaming the devil for defeat. Aren't you tired of blaming the devil for defeat when you've got a God that promised you victory? Aren't you tired of blaming people for defeat when you've got a God that said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Aren't you tired of being tired? Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's time to rise up, O captive daughter of Zion, and shake off those chains. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 9:8. You've kept your promise because you are righteous. Psalm 106 and verse 12. Then they believed His promises and sang His praise. They didn't wait to see anything. The moment they believed His promises, they started singing His praises. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 119:50. This is my comfort in affliction. Your promise. That word comforteth me. Literally, your promise preserves my life. Psalm 119:76, your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Psalm 119:116, sustain me according to your promise and I will live. Let not my hopes be dashed. Oh, Psalm 145:13, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. 2 Corinthians 7:1, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us pure ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. It's because of a promise that we have that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Close with this. 2 Peter 1:3-4 is so important. His divine power has given to us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. There's two things that happen when you get a hold of the promises. You draw close to God, you partake of the divine nature, and you distance yourself from the world. Escape the corruption that is in the world. This is not just about getting a Mercedes. In fact, it's not about getting a Mercedes. If God wants you to have it, He'll give it to you. Can you say this? You're not after a Mercedes. You're after victory. Can you say amen? Listen, they could have drove a Mercedes to the funeral for their son. Yeah, my mom and daddy could have went after a big car. I'm glad there was a big God that healed me and a faithful God. Ask anybody with a child in All Children's Hospital, would you like a brand new Mercedes, or you'd like your child to get up and come home with you? And they say, give me my baby. Amen. Amen. Take everything I got. Amen. I met a couple down at St. Jude's Children's Hospital, not St. Jude's, but the All Children's Hospital, Pinellas County. I met a couple coming to visit their little daughter, little head shaved under chemotherapy. Made those big blue eyes even bigger and bluer. They had sold everything they had to help get all the medical help they could to save their daughter. Everything. And I prayed with them, and they didn't really respond to the prayer. Listen, if you don't get into the Bible and get your faith built, come on. If you're satisfied to go to church and watch the choir sing, if you're satisfied to go to church because you get a title and you get recognition, you can feed your ego that you're somebody special instead of get your faith built, when you get in trouble, you're not going to have what you need. Amen. Christians are doing that all over Christendom this very day. This day! No manifestation of God's power, but look what we built. Do you think a mom and daddy with a dying child like I was care what kind of big building? There ought to be a sign on this door. There ought to be a sign. I don't mean don't make one that looks all crummy, but there should be a nice one like that. Amen? There should be a sign over that door on the outside that says the church has left the building. Amen? This isn't the church. You could laden it with gold and silver. When we walk out, the church has left the building. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We are a building, the Bible said, fitly framed together to just sit on the premises. No, fitly framed together for a habitation of God. Woo! I see you hadn't been healed of cancer. You wasn't about dead. I rejoice every day in my life that I'm breathing God's air and I'm able to preach the gospel and I'm a representative of a kingdom and a great king. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Taylor, this is real. That polyp being gone in you is gone. It's real. I'm glad it happened in a little church, because it don't take a big preacher in a big church. We got a big God. He answers prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you challenged today as we get ready to close? Glory to God. Amen. I am challenged today. Glory to God. Defeat. Remember Hee-Haw? Anybody? You got it. You got it. I didn't know black man watch Hee-Haw. Amen. Hee-haw. Oh, that's way back. You don't remember no Hee-Haw, do you? No, don't even go there. Don't even. It was a crazy redneck show anyway. I'm from Kentucky. I kind of like you remember Hee-Haw. Still comes on. Yeah. Blues, despair, misery untold. Anybody know the rest of that song? It's crazy. It's blues. Well, it's the blues. It's the blues. See, when we stand up front, we sing the glories of this great King. And then the rest of the time we talk the blues. It's not because that we're not sincere. We're not being hypocritical. Amen. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. But if someone will come and teach me, I won't be ignorant anymore. When I went to work for Tampa Electric in closing, fifth closing, when I went to work for Tampa Electric years ago, before I became pastor full time, I went out on a line crew on a high line. 135,000 volts where we were working. Enough that if your ring doesn't fit tight and you stand under it, the conducting of that up on that wire will make your ring just shake on your finger. It lets you know how close you are to death, man. 135,000 volts ain't going to tickle you. They're going to cook you. And I'm working out on the high line. I didn't know. I thought if it would, electricity won't go through wood. Well, your house current may not travel through it if it isn't damp. But 135,000 volts will run right through that wood. It don't make no difference. I went over there without rubber gloves to steady a pole that they were setting among those lines. And I went over there to put my hands on that. And the foreman grabbed me by the back of my neck and jerked me back. And I thought, what's he doing? What you doing? The grasshopper going to jump on you. I'm little, but I'm wiry. You say, man. I didn't know he's saving my bacon. He grabbed me, jerked me back, said, don't touch that thing, son. I thought, why? It's wood. He said, that thing will kill you. You go get 20,000 volt rated rubber gloves just to hold the pole. Because it'll run that pole and kill you. Told me about a guy that got killed. And how he got killed. I was ignorant. You know, look like I'd tell you a few things so they throw you out there on a line crew. And you know what he told me? It was something real stupid. Keep it simple. And listen, you know what he told me? He told me, he said, I'm gonna judge that you are smart and you know everything until you prove to me otherwise. And I said, oh, don't tell me that. Is there something I don't know that can hurt me? Tell me. I don't care that I don't know. Tell me so I will know. Why are God's people perishing? I'll give you a scripture. Why? 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 Is it because of a lack of promise or provision or purpose of God? No. One reason. Here it is. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. For a lack of knowledge. For a lack of knowledge. If you're satisfied to sit in church and go through the motions, you don't know what you need to know. If you'll come to church with an open heart, get on the same page that the Holy Spirit is bringing us to, you're going to walk out of here with something more than a liver shiver and a good shouting time. You're going to walk out of here armed with knowledge. Amen. And they that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Can you say, man? Halabakosondarabarata, sandarabakatia, lalabaroshalabakitia, moshalaba. A lot of people want to do something. We want to run out and do something. We got that Martha spirit. We need part of that. But they just want to go do something. I want to go do something for God. But you don't want to be and become. And you run out trying to do without waiting and receiving what you need. Without growing and maturing spiritually. Some people would rather go out and do something than to become something. The Holy Ghost was given that you might be before you do anything. That you might be. That you might be. Oh, come on. That you might be. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall become, you shall be witnesses unto me. Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. So here we are in the 21st century church world. And Pentecost, we're right up there now. We got big buildings, big preachers. We got education and entertainment. We've got choirs will keep you focused through the whole service. You can be inspired and enthused. And the devil's not afraid of your enthusiasm. But you walk out of there armed with knowledge. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Victory is going to come to God's camp. And the day before this is over, we're going to know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. We're going to know the joyful sound. I don't want to talk about miracles in the past tense. God is a present tense God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, have you got anything out of this teaching and preaching today? If God wants to do this new year, I want it done. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want it done. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. I believe this is the year. And I said that last year, but every year is a new opportunity for God to move through His church, His body, amen, to reach the world. And that's how they did it in the New Testament. They did it because God worked with them, within them, and through them. Will you stand to your feet today? Are you glad there's a testimony in this place, and there are testimonies in this place of what the Lord is doing? You want to be part of this? Praise God. Do you want to be part of this? Hallelujah. Pamela, can you come out? I want to pray for your brother while there's faith. Just full of faith in here. Praise the Lord. I want to lay hands in proxy. Her brother, my brother-in-law, is one of the sweetest guys that you'd ever want to meet. He's helped everybody in the family. He's just a good guy. We're not talking about his goodness. We're talking about God's grace. Amen. And he was in a motorcycle accident where he was trying to miss a dog. He turned to miss the dog, and the dog turned the way he turned, and it threw him. And right now he's got a shattered leg, completely shattered. It's got infection in it.
2 months
now they've been trying to get the infection out, talking about what they might do to all those shards and shattered. Right now, the bones are not mending, and they're talking about taking off the leg above the knee. That means it would be even harder for a prosthetic to be attached. This is what we're talking about. He can't claim the covenant because he's not a Christian yet. He can't use his goodness as merit. And here's a newsflash. Neither can you. You can't earn it. You can't tell God how much you deserve it. It's a grace throne. And grace means unmerited favor. We can come as covenant people to a grace throne. To obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. I'm going to ask God to heal that leg. To heal, to drive out that infection in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, despair, discouragement, this cloud of hopelessness, helplessness just comes over. Amen. And it'll grip you. And it'll grip us if we let it. Amen. But we have a prayer answering God. Can you say amen? And there's something called intercession. Oh! And the Bible said that God has made us through Jesus Christ kings and priests. What does it mean? It means that we can intercede just like the priests did in behalf of Israel. Hallelujah, Father, I'm asking that this family know, hallelujah, that this husband know, that this wife know that you are the true and the living God. Heal Carl today.
Oh, God.
Oh, hallelujah. Bones, hear ye the word of the Lord, and be thou made whole, and knit together bone to his bone.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh, shanda da ba si yanda. Handa da ba shanda da ba sa ta. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. 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 Mashandarabara. Mekalabasitia. Andarabasataya. Let's give him praise in this room. You can leave when you're ready. Don't ever feel like you have to stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, how great you are. Hallelujah, how great you are. Hallelujah.